Hi everyone, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here. Just saying a huge thank you to all of you that have supported my charity appeal so far. For those that haven't heard about it, this September I'm going to be swimming 15 kilometres between five islands in Cornwall. I'll be swimming the Isles of Scilly, that's Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. I'm doing it because I want to, but also to raise money for CALM, the campaign against living miserably. It's a well-known statistic that 125 people in the UK die by suicide every week, and CALM run a free and confidential helpline for people to speak through their problems and ultimately to help prevent suicides. I'm looking to raise enough money to train two new phone workers to man those lines, and I'll be doing it by swimming the Isles of Scilly in Cornwall. If you're looking to support me, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate at justgiving.com. Just go there and search for Adam Swim Scilly. That's Adam Swim Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. All donations greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping me to support CALM. And now, on with Monkey Tennis.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Monkey tennis?
You better believe it, babe. There's a new chat in town.
Monkey tennis?
Ice white shoes, ice white socks with navy blue double cadet strap.
Aha! Monkey tennis?
I've just been told that Roger Moore is at Chiswick Roundabout.
Monkey tennis?
Oh, what the heck? Rock and roll, it's Oliver Parr!
Monkey tennis?
Yes, I am in a jacuzzi sipping spunt.
Alan.
And on that bombshell.
Monkey tennis?
Greetings, Alan aficionados and Lynn lovers, and welcome to Monkey Tennis, the Alan Partridge fan podcast. I'm Adam Brooks, and I'm joined by Tom Dark.
Are you the prank caller?
Nick Holder.
Suddenly keen for a poo.
And Tom Stab.
I'm just going to do a Cockney walk.
So, before we get on to the main thrust of Series 4 of Monkey Tennis, which is going to be looking at Scissored Isle and iPartridge, we wanted to take a little time to go through your feedback.
Thank you. Series 4. That's amazing. How has
Hairs commissioned four series of this?
Have we jumped the shark? We must have.
Yeah.
The shark's been dead for years. So if you've not got in touch with us before, don't forget that you can. It's thepartridgepod@gmail.com, at thepartridgepod on Twitter, facebook.com/thepartridgepod, and all new Instagram at monkeytennispod.
It's Monkey Tennis Web 2.0,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we should also say just a big thank you for everyone who has got in touch.
Absolutely.
Loads of you have. So, thank you very much.
Nick, you sound genuinely surprised there.
I was a bit surprised.
Yeah, so buckle in. This episode's 4 hours long.
we're literally going to talk through every single email,
right,
tweet, and Facebook message.
You're guaranteed.
We're not.
Email of the evening.
But we will start with Michael Brennan, who got in touch on Facebook. He said, just touching on something I heard on the Origins episode, Alan's obsession with cleanliness harks back to his school days. It's touched upon in the radio show where he's hypnotised, and in iPartridge, it stems from him being bullied at school by Stephen McComb and other agitators, where they dubbed him Smelly Alan Fartridge. Now, we will get onto the book, obviously.
Yeah.
iPartridge analysis is coming up, but it is interesting that that is a through line of Alan's character, the cleanliness issue.
Yes, I like the fact they've made that very consistent, that it harks back to the bullying.
It's
and
a nice tease,
Stephen
but
McComb
let's not go,
is consistent
let's
as well.
Not go too far into this.
Yeah.
Basically, he's the Monica character from Friends, isn't he? In this, if Friends was the sitcom, it would be
if
Alan
Friends
Partridge.
Was a sitcom.
No, you know what I mean? Like, he's the Monica character, he's obsessed with cleanliness
yes.
and was fat.
Indeed, and he does impress his cleanliness on other people, which will come up when we tackle iPartridge later in this series. But right now, over to Tom Dark.
Yeah, so we've had a few messages here harking back to the Knowing Me, Knowing You episode featuring Gary Barker and Tanya Beaumont. We were discussing that it was clearly based on some kind of Hollywood couple, but we weren't quite sure who. So we've had a few suggestions in for people, starting with Barbara Kirk on Facebook. Hi, Barbara. She says, was the actor Alan refers to as Mr. Floppy based on Gary Oldman at all? I've guessed at the slot actress being based on Greta Saatchi, who did do a lot of nude scenes. Also, Michael Brennan, who we just mentioned. Hi again, Michael, on Facebook. Message to say he thinks Gary Barker and Tanya Beaumont are in part based on Richard Gere and Cindy Crawford. In 1994, Gere and Crawford took out an ad in the New York Times saying their marriage was not moribund.
Did they use the word moribund in there?
I don't know. There is actually a link there, but I've not looked at the actual article.
We can
article,
post that on the socials,
so, yeah,
maybe.
We can post that up. Yeah. So I think, I'm sorry, Barbara Kirk, but I think Michael Brennan is a bit more on the money here. And also, Kenny Leckie on Twitter, message to say he always assumed Patrick Marber's character was based on wild 90s Johnny Depp. He was just showing
up. Did we say that in the episode?
I think that's the one that's on the money.
Yeah. I think with a lot of these, there are kind of amalgamations of a few famous people, aren't they? So, yeah. I just think in terms of the couple thing, the Gere Crawford is probably the winner for me. And keeping on the Naomi Knowing You theme, Nick, you've got something for us next?
Yes, I've got a couple of pieces around Alan's blazer badge / the fan of swords. So first off, we have a tweet from David Whiteford, who says, Alan's badge, the bottom right half wheel of swords also appears for real, huge, that's in block caps, on his mantelpiece in the Christmas special.
And he is not wrong. To confirm, he is correct. Yeah,
it's a brilliant observation. Thanks for that, David.
For more on the Christmas special, why not join us live?
Oh, stop it, you! Stop it!
Oh, that is seamless.
On Wednesday, November the 22nd, we will be at the Prince Charles Cinema in London's Leicester Square. You can get tickets at postpoppodcast.com.
I tried, listeners. Yeah, I tried.
Postpoppodcast.com/monkeytennis.
He will not be stopped. He will not be stopped.
Liam Hill has an email, and he says the fan of swords is referenced midway through Naomi Knowing You as a decoration above Alan's fireplace. So yeah, again, just another observation.
Yeah, there. That's the radio show that he's talking about there.
Just right. I knew that.
You were confused by
that,
weren't you?
Andrew Rees has sent us an email, and he says, hi there, love the podcast. Oh, I'll stop it here. Long-time listener.
Andrew.
Cool. I think I finally have something to contribute.
Can I just say, thank you, Andrew, for waiting till you have something to contribute, not just emailing in with any old faff.
And that has happened on a few occasions to confirm.
Yeah, I know how he feels. So... in your Knowing Me, Knowing You episode 4 of the podcast, covering the French episode, you cover the fan of samurai swords in the Partridge Crest and mention that it seems to be a bit random.
And that might be in our defence because we'd forgotten that it was so prominently featured in Naomi Knowing You, to be honest. But anyway, we'll continue with the email.
He goes on to say, well, it is pretty random, but has been mentioned before in Partridge history. The 7th bonus episode of the Naomi Knowing You radio series is a behind-the-scenes special with Patrick Marber playing Alan's writer, and in one of his scenes, Alan is giving him and the narrator of the spoof documentary a tour of his house and points out the fan of samurai swords above the fireplace and as an example of his trappings. Anyway, it's a really funny episode if you haven't heard it, which I'm sure you have. Keep up the great work, guys. Look forward to the Christmas episode.
I'm looking forward to the Christmas episode too.
So I just wanted to ask, so Andrew says, if you haven't heard it, which I'm sure you have, Nick, have you heard that bonus episode of Naomi Knowing You, the radio show?
I'm going to pass to Tom Stab at this point to give it more correspondence.
To know.
Over to Nick. I haven't actually seen it. Listen to it, even.
I have. It's on YouTube. It's worth checking out.
I definitely will.
It's a behind-the-scenes addendum to the radio show.
I need to check it out. I haven't seen it, but Nick, you've seen it.
Yeah, Nick's heard it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
what was your favourite bit?
Let's move on. And keeping on a Knowing Me, Knowing You tip, we got a message on Twitter from @SwollenDanube saying... the Bee Gees walked out of a TV interview with Clive James. Well, we said that, sorry, I should say. It wasn't Clive James. It was actually Clive Anderson. So we got that one wrong, unfortunately.
Yeah, thanks for correcting us on that.
I can't remember who it was around the table, but they should be severely reprimanded.
I've got a feeling it was me. Whenever there's a TV-based error, Cheers versus straight Seinfeld, Clive James versus Clive Anderson.
Even if we did get it wrong, I knew that what we were thinking of was right. We just said the wrong name.
And that doesn't count as being right.
Yeah, but we... we knew what we meant.
I thought what I was doing was right.
Officer, I thought I was driving at the correct speed limit.
Anyway, Mike Simpson got in touch on Facebook
to
say that he's binge listened to Monkey Tennis and loved it. Well, can't blame you.
He's only human.
he wanted to let us know about his many Alan Partridge related experiences. I'll run through the bullet points very quickly. He currently lives in Norwich. He walked past someone dressed as Alan Partridge only to realise it was Alan Partridge himself filming a piece of Scissored Isle. He used to work very close to the Hilton Hotel in Watford that doubled as a Linton travel tavern. He's visited, quote unquote, Bono's house.
Bono!
He considered leaping off Cromer Pier. At this point, his claims become a little bit harder to stomach. He worked around the corner from Norwich Police Station. He went to school in Bungie, and he claims that he can also shit in boxes. But the main point was that he located Jed Maxwell's bungalow, and sadly, it has been demolished.
No!
Apparently,
plot twist!
Apparently, that slice of TV history is 100% over.
Yes, what I really liked as well, attached to Mike's Facebook message, he also sent us a video where he reenacted Alan's escape from Jed's house, getting out of the car, running across the field, which is quite funny.
Nice.
If there's a way we can share it, I'll try to, but I can't get that to work at the moment. But it did make me think that perhaps what we should try and do is create our own Partridge Over Britain map and put together all the locations of important Partridge.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I'm sure the people living in those homes now will thank us.
Well,
here's where I live.
Well, think about it. Jed's home has been demolished. Mm-hmm. What other houses are relevant apart from Bono's?
Denton Abbey?
Yep, the five bastard bedroom house.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'd be amazed if we can locate where that is. But anyway, I think that'd be an interesting idea. If anybody knows of Partridge-specific locations, if you want to send that information to us, we will create some kind of Google map that we can share on our socials.
Preferably with a postcode.
Yeah, so we can locate it properly. But, you know, there are things like we know where Michael's BP garage is. We know that the Tesco in Scissored Isle is actually in Boreham Wood. So, again, that is gleaned from Mike Simpson here also.
We can find the exact point that's equidistant between Norwich and London.
Exactly. Yes. We can have a bit of fun with this. So, yeah, send us your Partridge-specific locations and we will put together some form of Google map under the title A Partridge Over Britain. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Fantastic.
Absolute dream.
So, talking of Alan-based locations, we've also had an email and some tweets from Tim Lake. Hi, Tim. Tim says he only recently started listening to the podcast.
Where have you been?
But he loves it, though, so don't worry. He does love it. He also says, you sound very much like my friends and I, who are all total AP nerds. I prefer the term expert, personally. But that's fine.
At the very least, enthusiast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tim's email continues. Do you have a list of your Cards Against Alanity cards, as we'd love to reproduce those for an upcoming event? You may already know, but Cards Against Humanity is under a Creative Commons license, so making your own versions is not only allowed, but encouraged by the original creators.
The years I've spent sleepless nights waiting for those lawyers to ring.
Yep. Well, Tim, stay tuned. We might have an update for you on that in a moment. Anyway, Tim's email continues giving us more about what him and his friends have been up to in an Alan theme. So he says they're the guys that created the Jed Maxwell escape video that we actually referenced in an earlier series. They did their own Alan Partridge locations tour, taking in Watford Hilton, Linton Travel Tavern, the BP Garage, Coristers, and Bickling Hall, Bono's house. He says, the fun fact about that is the bit Lynn's friend Andrew reads about it being built on the site of a medieval predecessor is genuinely in the information leaflets. He also says they are embarking on a third locations tour this year based on a boat trip on the Broads. As with the previous two tours, they will be eating only food mentioned or seen in the shows and listening to a playlist of songs from the shows. That's where they'd like to play Cards Against Alanity, along with some other games, which include the Chalk Penis Challenge, as we also did. We are planning to come to your afternoon/live podcast in November, so we'll be keen to shake your hand repeatedly. Anyway, I'll stop rambling on now. Thanks again for the Ace podcast.
That brings us nicely onto details of the live podcast.
No, Adam. People know.
It's like you don't want people to come.
So
do come.
So Tim, do get in touch again and let us know some of those locations so we can try and create this Partridge map, a Partridge Over Britain. But you'll be interested to hear this next piece of correspondence, which comes from Tilly the House Elf on Twitter. Her fiancé, Dinsey Rob, created their own Cards Against Alanity last year. And she sent us an amazing photo where he has properly created the cards with all Alan quotes. And I've been in touch with Rob and he sent me the PDFs for that and they are actually brilliant. So perhaps, Rob, if it's cool with you, maybe we could share them with the rest of our listeners. We'll converse over that.
And if Rob... to say he's not here, he can't answer.
Well, I know, but he'll listen. So, but anyway, yeah, they an Alan version of cards does now exist in a physical form. So we'll see if we can share that with you all.
Okay, next up, Ladyboy Prices. And this comes from Mikey Hogarth. And he says, hey guys, started listening to the fantastic podcast.
It really is fantastic, isn't it?
I cannot stress that enough.
Thanks, Mikey.
His words. So in the third episode, something you didn't cover was a joke about the bill for the three ladyboys being 33 quid, which is going to age badly because it's quite reasonably priced for what they ordered. What do you reckon the bill would be today, adjusting for inflation? Well, reasonably for a hotel bar anyway. He says, keep up the good work. So essentially, how much would a round of ladyboys be in a hotel bar in 2017?
For how many people?
So this would be, so he orders three, doesn't he? Yeah. So yeah. It's three drinks for three people.
So it's £11 per ladyboy.
It's nine drinks in total, isn't it?
Well, really, you're kind of looking at where in the country you're ordering these.
That is a good point. Yeah, if it's in London, it's very different.
Yes, very much so. So you're looking, I reckon, probably around between that price that he paid and 50 quid, probably.
Yeah, I think you'd be lucky to get change from 50 quid. I think your average hotel these days...
I think it's way more than 50 quid.
Really?
You can pay 12 quid for a gin and tonic
I think
a
it's going to be, speaking very averagely, at least £5 a drink.
Ooh, so you're speaking quite averagely there.
Much like he does in pretty much all the podcasts that we do.
All right. No need for that.
You set them up, Mikey. We'll knock him down.
Thank you very much, mate.
Cheers.
Cheers. Moving on. So.
Unbelievable. It's over 50 quid. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. So next up, not a correspondence as such, but something I came across online, which was... any fans of WWE out there might be familiar with the wrestler Triple H. He was left baffled at a WWE UK taping in Norwich as the crowd basically kind of just shouted out various Alan Partridge quotes or whatever. There was Dan, aha, and basically...
I think there was a guy in a Partridge mask.
Yeah, there was a guy in a Partridge mask, which Triple H described as a really weird little dude. Yeah, and and Triple H found this basically very, very confusing.
He was baffled,
didn't understand what was going on. I think there was some confusion because there was a wrestler with the first name Dan, and he thought they were shouting for him, but it was just basically...
He didn't know the joke.
He didn't know the joke, didn't understand it. And in this article that I found online, there was actually a link to a tweet of someone who was at the event who filmed a bit of footage, but we're going to cut in a bit of the audio from that now so we can hear exactly what the WWE fans were shouting.
The UK champion. Roman, that's from here. I don't get the stupid Dan thing, right? I get it, the guy with the Mikey mask on right there. I get it, but I don't know what the hell that means. Leave it alone. The Jesus thing, I get it.
There you go. So I basically took this news story, posted it on the Monkey Tennis socials, and basically put out a bit of a question to our fans and said, you know, if Alan was a wrestler, what would his finishing move would be? And it's safe to say that the responses were, you know, we got so many, and they're all really, really good. I think basically what we're going to try to do now is to rapid fire go through all the suggestions. There's so many, so we can't name every person who contributed individually. But I'm going
to
start.
It took me a long time to go through these.
Tom Dark has compiled all of these, and we're basically going to rapid fire through them. There's some brilliant ones here, so I'm going to start, and then we're going to go around the table, and we're going to fire them off quick fire. So, and if we mess it up, we're just going to carry on going. Okay, so here we go. The Corby Trouser Press Slam.
The Minor Women's Whiplash.
The Tungsten Tip Screw. Yeah.
Sunny DDT.
The Big Plate.
The Colossal Velocity Driver.
The Valance.
The Five Bedroom Bastard Slam.
The Big Fat Shot of Director's Bitter.
Ye Roundhouse.
The Shattered Dreams Parkway.
Smell my cheese, your mother.
The Top Drawer Surprise.
The Van Daninator.
The Norfolk Knight's Elbow.
Knowing me, knowing you, Leglock.
Lynn's Mum's Tombstone Power Driver.
Pierce my foot on a spike power driver.
The Lady Boy.
Alan Attack.
Death by Chat.
The Full English.
Onion Terror.
Massive Bereavement.
The Dirty Protest.
The Oddie Slam.
Bravo 6-0.
The Lady Boy.
Kiss My Face, brackets headbutt.
The Big Plate.
Crash Bang Wallop.
Alan's Deep Bath.
The Shop Soil Chocolate Orange.
The Chocolate Orange. Very similar.
I like with both of those. The Shop Soil Chocolate Orange, they wrote, it won't completely finish his opponent, but there'll be some superficial damage.
Very good.
And for the Chocolate Orange, it says, he would only leave superficial damage. Very consistent. Last one, Scotch Egg Gas, obviously.
There we go. Some great, great wrestling moves there.
And we really nailed doing that straight through.
First time.
No edits required,
no,
guys.
None at all. Consummate professionals.
Oh, dear. So some of you might have seen online that there was a meme of a Batman sat looking very lonely.
Batman?
I mean, I've got the photo. Batman. I've got the photo in front of me. It doesn't look like a definitive Batman.
Hello, I'm a Batman.
I'm a Batman.
Join me.
David Faggiani got in touch with us on Twitter. Said, based on this photo meme doing the rounds, I had a thought for a crossover comic. Batman has to live at a travel tavern equidistant between Gotham and Norwich, and Alan gets to be a masked vigilante. In a job swap, Alan gets Alfred and Alan gets Lynn. Or I think he means Batman gets Lynn. Here's my question for you guys. In this scenario, who's got more psychological issues, Bruce or Alan? I can tell you now, it's Alan regardless.
Yeah. I mean, there's...
When it says that Alan is a masked vigilante, can he be wearing an Alan Partridge mask as his masked vigilante?
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's good.
And let's not forget, yes, Bruce Wayne may have had his parents shot in front of him, but Alan is Alan. So
remember, Alan's dad did have a fist like an iron shovel.
And there'll be more on that when we discuss I, Partridge, coming soon.
I set them up, you knock them down.
There we go. Okay, moving on. We had an email from Andrew Parry. Andrew writes, hello, I'm an avid AP fan, but not in a lock him in a room or sex people sense. Also, my initials are AP, which links us cosmically and definitely not in the two aforementioned ways. Please send me 2 free tickets for the November show. Failing that, please sell me 3.
Hang on.
Well, Andrew, what I can really say to you in response to that is tickets are very much available, and I'm sure Adam could tell you more.
Am I allowed to talk about it?
No, it's fine. But yeah, November the, what is it?
22nd.
See you there.
Prince Charles Cinema, post-pop podcast.
Leave it.
Alan's Funny Stories.
That's the joke. This is where listeners have written in and are kind of pointing out gags, which it's like, yeah, that's the joke. So I'm looking at you first, Lachlan Taylor.
If that is your real name.
I pronounce your name right. Yeah. And they write, hi there, love the podcast. Thank
you. Of
course,
naturally.
We'll treat you gently then. Standard.
Just wanted to let you know about my interpretation of the REO Speedwagon joke discussed at the start of podcast 4. I always thought it was very funny because you think Alan's going to say REM, who were probably one of the biggest stadium bands in the world at that time. Certainly much bigger than REO Speedwagon. Another reason to back up this interpretation, it's a similar gag to the 435 AM joke earlier in the series. Glad I finally have an outlet to discuss these serious matters. Cheers.
It's been building up for years.
So I guess in summary, yeah,
that's the joke. Yeah.
When you say my interpretation of the RSP bugin, it's everyone's interpretation.
Yes. Yep. And finally, from Dan Jackson, he says, I'd love to know why he never refers to Lynn by name in his book. Again, just 3 words for you, Dan. Yeah,
that's the joke.
So, something we
I think that could be a new regular feature.
What?
That's the joke.
Well, we do it to each other enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
It'll work.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hot topic.
And next up, something we discussed on our mini episode, the news that broke earlier this year that Alan was going to be back on the BBC in spring 2018. We had a tweet from @GaryPL who said, what would be great for his return is a Larry Sanders style format with Alan Partridge and Simon both doing the chat show and backstage. How do we feel that as a format? Obviously, there has been some speculation recently in the news about what the show would be next year. So obviously, we kind of have a bit of an idea, but let's just talk about other ideas that maybe other people have around the table. Or
I'd say, Gary PL, I'd like to shake you by the hand. I think that is an inspired idea I think would showcase the best of Alan behind the camera.
And it kind of follows the sort of Strictly format of you've got a host and then you've got these kind of side chats with co-presenters.
It also means if you've got slightly meek real celebrities who maybe aren't so willing to have jokes poked at them on the set, you can supplement that with some funny chat backstage and the show works.
Yeah, and I just think it's kind of, you've got the best of both worlds for Alan there in terms of you've got the chat show, so you're doing the Knowing Me, Knowing You part, and then you've got the backstage bit, which is whether it's Mid-Morning Matters style, and obviously the way that that would be filmed would be also very much in keeping with I'm Alan Partridge. So yeah, I think in summary, that really would work. So maybe the BBC should just do that.
And we also got another piece of correspondence, another tweet from @MrMattReed. In summary, his tweet basically says that kind of something that we spoke about again in the mini episode was that the format of Mrs. Merton worked really well. So a similar idea for Alan. He would like to see Alan do that kind of thing. I think that would really work. But
and that would tie in. That's basically the Larry Sanders idea isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
So I mean. It just works, but obviously we know a little bit about what's going to happen next year. Alan, supposedly the voice of Brexit. I mean, that hasn't actually officially been
confirmed. Well, I think that's been taken slightly out of context.
Do you think?
Though. Yeah, I think it has. I think, so since our mini episode a couple of months back, Coogan has done an interview with a publication whose name I cannot remember.
Tell me your name!
Because I think really what's happened is that basically Coogan was talking about how the Brexit angle is a way to justify the BBC having Alan back on the air, because they're then trying to represent the views of somebody that's a bit more...
So they have to get him back in the name of balance, basically.
Yeah, I guess I could be saying. But I think what's happened is places like... I've seen the story, it's been on places like Enemy and Shortlist, and I think they've basically gone with the Brexit headline to kind of say Alan as the new face of Brexit, but I don't think that's really what Coogan said.
They've clickbaited us,
haven't they? Yeah, they absolutely have. Any luck on finding the article?
Yes, you were bang right. It is from The New European.
Never heard of it.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. Anyway, we could perhaps find a quote from Coogan to redress the balance.
Well, yeah, just looking at the article, there's a quote, I think, which is basically what's been pulled by the media, where Coogan says that if Alan had voted, Alan would have voted for Brexit, basically. So I think people have taken that as a quote and pulled that out and kind of made that the headline. Yeah. Whereas actually, if you kind of dig a little bit deeper into the article, there's quite an interesting quote here from Coogan. He says, "Well, because he has got a show on the BBC, we have a problem. Because we have to explain why he's a failure, but he has a show. The logic of what he is doing has to make sense. It's conceivable, because of this age of Brexit, that they, the BBC, might think that they need to get in touch with the little Englanders they ignore." So that's why he's been kind of invited as the voice of Brexit, or the voice of the little Englander, which kind of makes sense. So given all the context of, like...
It ties in perfectly with the characters, doesn't it? Yeah, and it gives that explanation of why it's happened. But yeah, the sense that I got when he was on The One Show was that perhaps the format of the show is going to be a bit like The One Show. So perhaps more of a magazine show than a straight-up chat show.
Also, it's important to mention that this is obviously going to go out on BBC Two. We did have a little bit of debate when we first talked about it about what BBC channel he would end up on, but it's yeah. still BBC Two, same yeah. as his former BBC
He's yet to make the upgrade.
Super Talk!
Brought to you by Ginster's Pasties.
So I think that's most of the feedback that we've had. Just a couple of things to mention before we go. I think we previously referred to the mock-up car that appeared at his book launch.
Yes, the replica Rover 800.
That's right. So that had Cook Pass Babtridge down the side of it, didn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
And that was recently sold on eBay for £800.
An absolute steal.
I tell you what, if you've got any Rover 800s knocking around, just daub a bit of graffiti, obscene graffiti yeah. on the side of it.
And watch the value skyrocket.
Exactly. Stick it on eBay. Some Partridge fans are going to buy it. Amazing.
We should buy one at the very least.
That is entrepreneurial spirit at its best.
Yeah. That one looks great in my garage, by the way. just before we go, I also had a quick look on YouGov to see what they claim the typical I'm Alan Partridge or Knowing Me, Knowing You viewer looks like. So I'm going to run through some demographics here. Let me know what you think.
Exciting.
Firstly, the general sex of a viewer.
Male.
Male.
Correct. What would you say the age is of a Partridge viewer?
What's our average age?
34?
Yeah.
Or maybe a little bit older, 36.
You're close, but it skews quite a bit older. 40 to 54 is the dominant. Social grade, I mean, I will accept anything from...
ABC One.
It is ABC One. He's nailed it. The top region...
It's John Lewis, isn't it?
Yeah, all over again. The top region in terms of where viewers live in the UK.
London.
No, it's the northeast.
Oh, wait.
In terms of politics on a scale from left to right.
So what's the context here? This is
They've taken a sample group in 2016, and they've compared people who claim to be Alan Partridge viewers compared to other groups of the same type.
Right.
I would say it's left-leaning.
Yeah. You'd hope. Politics left or right?
It's got to be left.
It's extremely left-leaning.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's almost entirely...
I think Coogan will be very happy with that.
What sort of professions do you think Alan Partridge viewers typically fall into?
Professionals?
Middle management.
This makes me dubious about the sample sizes they've taken. I'm Alan Partridge viewers, they claim, work primarily in entertainment, construction, and mining and quarrying. But then when you go to Knowing Me, Knowing You, it's entertainment, media and publishing, wholesale and retail. So Tesco lifer Pat Bevan from Isle, fits in that category.
And it sounds like the builders in I'm Alan Partridge Series 2 are also watching.
And us, because we kind of work in the media, so I guess that's kind of...
Definitely not construction.
No.
Finally...
I can't put up a shelf.
The amount of monthly spare money.
We've all got spare money, haven't we? Loads of spare money.
No such bloody thing. Partridge viewer would have.
I don't know. I'll tell you one thing.
£9.5.
I'll tell you one thing. The average Knowing Me, Knowing You viewer has more spare monthly cash than the average I'm Alan Partridge.
They're older. They're older. I reckon spare cash grand.
500 quid.
For Knowing Me, Knowing You, it's £1,000 or more. For I'm Alan Partridge, it's £125 to £499. Yes. Not my words, the words of you.
That's us then, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So, any other discussion points before we wrap up the feedback episode?
There was just one thing that I found quite randomly the other day. Felicity Montague said, talking about the shows overall, everyone thought I was corpsing, along with Sally Phillips in some of those scenes, when I'm in Alan Partridge, desperately trying not to laugh. But actually, it was simply that Lynn was constantly mortified by Alan's behaviour and was bobbing her head in shame. So I'd like to set the record straight on that. Well, what do we think?
It's a partial attempt to set the record straight. she says
you're not convinced.
No, well, I mean, maybe some of the... I think the bits in Sally... that she's got scenes
Spit
with
it
Sally...
out!
The things where she's got scenes with Sally Phillips, I think maybe, yeah, she is holding it together and it is genuine acting. But that scene we were referring to in the car park with Sonia,
yeah,
they're corpsing.
Yeah, I think absolutely. So as well. The way she kind of turns and then goes back and then immediately has to turn back again, I think she's definitely corpsing.
Because in that interview, they're talking about Alan overall. So do you think she's putting down a blanket excuse just to cover herself, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think she's a great actress, but in that scene, I claim she's corpsing and I stand by.
So what you're saying is, like, she's basically putting that out to go, I can do my job properly. I'm not corpsing. I can be a serious actor. Yeah. Hire me.
Very much available. So that brings us to the end of this feedback feedback episode, but let me tell you a little bit about what's coming up over the coming weeks of Series 4 of Monkey Tennis. Next week, we are going to be coming to you, I say live, not live, but we recorded an episode live at MCM Comic Con in Manchester, all about Alan Partridge's Scissored Isle. We're going to follow that up with a part two of Scissored Isle.
Bonus episode.
Covering the tidbits and factoids that we couldn't get around to in Manchester. Following that, we're then going to tackle the big one. It's I, Partridge. That will be coming over the coming weeks. And can I talk about the live show now?
Oh, go on then.
If you must.
We'll be tackling Knowing Me, Knowing Yule live at the Prince Charles Cinema on Wednesday, the 22nd of November. We're also going to be talking to Simon Greenall, who you will know as Michael the Geordie. There are tickets available from postpoppodcast.com/monkeytennislive. And I strongly encourage you to join us.
We'll see you there.
So that's it for this episode. From all of us at Monkey Tennis, we'll see you next week. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Monkey Tennis? You better believe it, babe. There's a new chat in town. Monkey Tennis?
Ice white shoes, ice white socks with navy blue double cadet top.
Aha!
Monkey Tennis?
I've just been told that Roger Moore is at Chiswick Roundabout.
Monkey Tennis?
Oh, what the heck? Rock and roll, it's Oliver Parr!
Monkey Tennis?
Yes, I am in a jacuzzi sipping spunt.
Alan.
And on that bombshell.
Monkey Tennis?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.